Welcome back to the Young Bucks podcast, episode number 95. My name is Henry Deering. I'm here with my brother and co-host, Chris Deering.
Hello.
Ginger Flow.
Something like that.
Actually, I've heard people compliment your hair a few times today. It doesn't look too bad.
A couple of people. A few times.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Almost like you were, it's pretty fluffy.
Yeah?
Almost like you were in a tornado storm.
I mean, it's very possible I was. I am trying to find something new to do with my hair before I comment on the previous thing. My hair, it is a process right now. I'm trying to find my hairstyle footing at the moment.
Footing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trying to find my place in the hairstyle community because, you know, I rocked the curls for a little bit, and before that, I rocked my whatever we want to call my short game, my short hair game.
Yeah.
Which we can't go back to.
Nothing to really comment on.
No.
Forgetful, in fact.
Yeah. It's a very forgetful time. So I'm just trying to find my adult hairstyle footing.
Okay.
As we speak, but. Yeah, some might say it looks like my hair went through the tornado, and that's a very accurate statement.
Yeah.
Due to recent events, we can talk about this because it's a tornado. A tornado came through our neighborhood. We think very close to our house. I'm not sure how close to the house it actually got.
Yeah.
But we had a big storm on Tuesday night. For reference, it was 77 degrees on Tuesday, and Wednesday, when I went out to lunch at work, it was 25 degrees. So we had a 50 degree drop off, and so some might say that caused the torrential rain, hail, and tornado in our area.
Yeah.
So we had a tornado. Funny, hilarious story. Me and Henry. Sleep same room, two beds. We were asleep and got woken up by our phones. Our phones had the emergency sound go off.
Yeah, Amber Alert, whatever for a tornado.
So what was going through? You can go through what was going through your mind, but in my mind, when I hear this alarm, I was like, "Oh snap! It's time to wake up," because I thought it was my alarm. Then I was like, "That's not my alarm." I checked my phone and I was like. If I just got woke up, I this is probably like the worst first thought, but at 1 o'clock, I'm not trying to be up. My first thought was, if this is an Amber Alert, I'm so mad that this just woke me up.
Right.
But once I saw it was a tornado warning, I put some thought into it. I got up, went out to the front room, me and little bro. My mom and dad were not having it. They stayed in bed for a lot, not like terribly long, but like me and little bro were out there for a little while, me and Luke, before anyone else was. Apparently our printer has an emergency alarm, and that was going off.
Rightfully so.
So
printer's got us in check.
That was my original
thoughts. No phones, but you got a printer? Printer's letting you know.
The printer's got you. That was my first thoughts. Henry had another experience with his first thoughts.
I mean, something that has been reoccurring has been my wake-up time. And 5:45 is my sweet spot.
It's a sweet spot.
I don't know what it is, but
truthfully,
it's like when you need a 3-pointer in a game, you call on Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, waking up, you need me to wake up, call on 5:45.
Right, of course.
It's automatic. It's no, but 6 a.m. for me is like picking Shaq
to shoot a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
And for some reason.
And especially, nonetheless, 1 in the morning. 1, one in the morning is like not even an NBA player. You know,
it was bad. I was not expecting to
So anyways,
up.
I hear this go off, and I'm like, surely it's not 5:45. I know my alarm's set for 5:45 today. Surely it's not 5:45. And I see the lightning through the window in the curtain. You can just see the light flashing. And you can hear the hail coming down, too. And it's clearly the middle of the night. It's clearly
not
approaching the morning.
At all.
And so I get back into bed, and I'm like, Chris, it's just a storm. Go to bed. And I
after we just got an emergency alarm.
Oh yeah, so I get up, I get my phone, I get rid of the noise, and I just click back into bed without even like skipping a beat.
This is maybe like a 2 second interaction.
Oh yeah, so quick. And so I'm laying there. I'm like, shoot, if it is 5:45, he's got to drive to work in this. Like, what's going on? And I was like, if it's 5:45, I got to drive in this to go to the gym. And then I was like, my girlfriend's going to be driving in this too right now. So I was like, I should probably get up and like check and see what's going on. If like this is the time we all got to leave and the storm's going on. And then
has no desire to actually wake up.
Yeah. So then my mom comes in my room and I'm like, okay, this is not, I was like, okay, officially it is not 5:45. I don't know. This is just weird that everyone's up. I'm hearing noise. So I get up and sure enough, there's a tornado going on. Yeah.
Tornado sirens blaring. So we were all in the middle of the house, mind you. Front of the house, 3 like massive windows. Back of the house, 4 massive windows. Like, and then like in between those is our kitchen. And so we were kind of all standing in the kitchen, and then just the whole house starts to shake. Like you hear like hail, probably sticks, probably logs like start hitting the house. And we all kind of just went into the bathroom.
Because there's no windows.
No windows. Yeah, that's, and we don't have a basement. There's no windows. And so, as that's all happening, of course, the natural dad position, standing right in the front of the house,
borderline trying to get outside.
Yep. I would have to assume half, if not 75% of the males in our town, the dads, were standing, if not in the front yard, in the front of the house. Like, possibly on the roof.
Like, checking the gutters.
Yeah, something. And so then the storm kind of passes through, like, at least the bulk of it. It's kind of just raining and windy to this point.
Yeah.
Like, after the obviously, the tornado passed through. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't realize at the time. And then after that, it was kind of just a meme. Like, everybody was kind of just up at 1 o'clock knowing we have to get up in like 4 hours.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. After like we knew we were going to be safe, just hearing the rain, and it was pretty cool experience all in all, knowing we were safe. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't think anybody got hurt either. Then the reports that came out after. Mm-hmm.
No one guy lost his roof, which sucks. Feel bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, thankful a lot of people were safe. A lot of people lost electricity. A lot worse damage could have been done, and
oh, yeah.
Thankful for the minimal damage that was done.
I heard a trampoline landed on somebody's roof.
Oh,
via nice. Our news article, yeah.
I know some chimney covers fell. Blew off because a bunch of them were in our yard.
Chimney covers?
What's that? I think, I don't know. I think that's what mom and dad said, like chimney toppers? I don't know. I think it's just like a cover over the top of the chimney that blew off. I'm not sure. I didn't see them, but I heard people talking about it.
Yeah.
A lot of trees were down.
At the top of the house. So
yep. Tree in our backyard fell.
Yeah.
Thankfully not on the house.
No.
Could have happened.
Far back. Farthest back tree.
It was very scary because we have four big trees, and 2 of them are like in line with our house. Like the way it would very much so fall on our house if it were to fall.
Yeah. So
very blessed that it was only minimal damage done to
for sure.
Our house.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
First time something like that's happened.
Could have been a
very different outcome.
Could have been a different episode this week if that was the case.
Yeah. We would be recording. I don't even know where. But we're recording here at the house. Very nice.
Yeah. Very thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. In my mind, I was like, I trust God more than the news anchor.
Yeah.
More than the weatherman.
I was thinking about the like story of like Jesus sleeping at the bottom of the boat while they're all like scared of the storm that's happening at the mm-hmm. top of the boat. And then it's just like, have you no faith? Like I can tell these winds and waves to stop and they will stop. So like
Yeah, I didn't think about that one, but it's a good
one. Why when you and mom were in the bathroom and me and Luke were outside the bathroom, like laying on the floor, I was like, I'm sleeping in the bottom of the boat.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
That's okay.
Good joke though.
You had bigger fish to fry. So yeah. Tornado. Big thing that happened in our week.
Yeah. Another big thing is I signed up for the bike race that I did last year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Iceman.
Are you riding tomorrow?
I'm not riding tomorrow. My bike's not fixed. But I wasn't planning on riding till April anyway.
Ah, yeah. Why would you?
No, because I wanted to... we'll get into it eventually. But my plan was to do more in gym working out, like lifting and stuff during the winter months.
Ah.
So, like November to March. I know it's going to start getting warmer, but, you know, for me.
Monday, close to 70.
Yeah, so that's cool. I'm glad we had a mild winter.
Yeah. That was real nice. It has not been bad whatsoever.
No.
Until it snows tomorrow.
Until the tornado came.
Yeah. And that's not even winter. Tornado weather isn't even winter. So yeah, bike race. You ready for a better time or better?
Oh yeah, ready to compete, ready to get a better time. I think it took me 3 hours to ride 30 miles. This is a trail ride too, so not just
Was it 3 hours exactly around?
Yeah, it actually was pretty exact.
You trying to shave a half hour off?
Yeah, I think I could do it in 2.5.
Okay.
Because I didn't start riding last year until the middle of June, so I'll have 3 months on myself from last year.
Okay. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Nice. I am not participating. For all who care.
Are you coming?
I'll be there. If I'm around.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I guess that's true. Yeah. It's a good time, though. I'm looking forward to it.
It will be a good time. I'll make it. I'll make it there.
Yeah.
I'll make it there. Yeah. I like that. I liked having the trip this year. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until I found out I was getting a new job on the trip. That was the trip I found out I was getting
a new
job.
And
then I was kind of stressing, but it was cool.
Yeah. Working out of that. Yeah. So, but yeah, big things. Pretty cool.
Bigger houses.
No. Something that I wanted to bring to the attention of the podcast today is last week we posted a short on YouTube, and it was about, in general, like a clip from one of our previous episodes, Chris talking about the blood of Jesus and what that means, and you can go check it out.
And to everybody.
Yeah, but just in general what it means, yep. I mean, also to you. So we wanted to address a comment, though, that we got. And just a specific question within this overall comment, both for the education of this person, if they do end up seeing this, and also, you the listener, just to get a chance to hear our response, our thoughts. 'Cause I mean, we see comments and we can talk about it with each other, but, it's not often, it's not like we would regularly just talk about every single comment that we would get. So.
Yeah, we're just trying to clear some things up.
Yeah, yeah.
Answer a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Because content, but also, like, it's a question. Like it's a good question that deserves a good answer.
Right, and I think it just is also, like, why we do what we do with this. So.
Of course.
Anyways. Obviously, like I said, Chris was talking about the blood of Jesus. Within this comment, this guy says, "So God killed his own son to wipe away the sin that he put there in the first place in order for him to have a relationship with the people he created. That's some crazy bleep right there." And it does not say bleep in the comment. So I'm going to open it up to Chris to kind of respond to this. With his answer, I got some things to say too, but I think the biggest glaring thing in here is the fact that it says he put the sin there in the first place. So,
let's just take it right back to that first place, creation. the Lord created everything in 7 days, the land, the light, the earth.
God created the sky. Everything. Yeah.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he created all these things. And the sixth day God created, this, I'm reading straight from Genesis. When I'm reading, I'll be reading straight from Genesis. It says, so God created human beings in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female. He created them. God created us. God created male and female alike in his image. We were all made in the image of God, which is perfect. That's him saying, when he created human beings, we were all made in his image, perfect, spotless, blameless, right? And then he creates women, a woman. He said, this is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. Sorry about that.
That's fine. It was needed.
Yeah. And so he created man and women, and then... And when it goes down to chapter 3, this is when sin enters the world. The world has been perfect in chapters 1 and 2. Adam named all of the animals, all the fish, like there are waters, there's animals, there's sky, there's clouds, there's everything. This is how life was meant to be lived in verses 1 and 2. And what we see in chapter 3 is what we call the fall. In the Christian belief, it's what we call the fall of man. And so the serpent, which is Satan, in serpent form, Satan is also a supernatural, right? Because God is supernatural, right? Isn't so? Satan is the opposite of God, supernatural, right? He's what always are you been. Asking? Has Satan always been?
Well, God is what's omniscient?
Omniscient, yes.
So,
all knowing,
or the. All eternity. He's always been, you know, conceptualizing that is challenging. It doesn't talk about him creating angels, you know. So were they co-eternal? Who knows? So I don't think that's something we are qualified or educated to, like, really speak about. Mm-hmm. But I would say what we do know is that Satan was a fallen angel. So he was at one time the... Like what I think, from my understanding, is a worship angel of worship, mm-hmm. In heaven, and he fell. I don't know the theology on all that.
That's also what I know.
So, and I meant to say this before we get into it. Like, this is not going to be a perfect explanation, but this is two dudes who study the Bible and try to grow in it, and
this is helping us grow.
Yeah. So, everything's with a grain of salt, but we're trying to spread the truth too. So, I would say there's a spirit, there's this material realm that we operate in. Like, this is a couch, this is a pillow material, but then there's also, like, spiritual realm, the things you can't see. God is supernatural. I don't know if everything in the spiritual realm is supernatural, but
yeah,
whatever. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And so the serpent, which is Satan, he comes. And this is like the first sign of, like, temptation in the world. Now I'm not sure how the serpent got to the world, but it's saying, the serpent says, did God really say you must not eat of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Because God had said, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? That is the forbidden tree. That is God's law. Like, he was like, you can do everything you want. I have given you this whole garden to do whatever you want. Just do not mess with this tree.
Right. Yeah. Stay away from the tree.
Stay away from the tree. And so...
In the middle of the garden, too. Surrounded by all the other things that they had available to them.
And so the serpent tempts the woman, and which is Eve. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she ate. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. And she gave some to her husband, Adam, who was with her, and he ate too. So this next verse is really where, I guess, sin comes into the world. At that moment, their eyes were opened. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. is just like that, that when it says at that moment their eyes were opened, they lived life perfectly. Like us in our human bodies, like as we would say naked now, is like how God created us. These clothing is to cover up like what God created us, right? Because of our sin, because we have lustful eyes now.
Yeah.
And so like everything prior to that moment was perfect how God intended it. And so now, like after sin, they see like their faults. And so this is just the beginning of sin. And then you have Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel because of a disagreement. And then the world goes wrong. You have the flood, and Noah, the ark, you know. And so, yeah, I would say that's where sin started. God never brought sin into the world, but sin came into the world. And because man, Adam, and Eve decided that they were going to disobey, you know. And so that brought sin into the world, and that's why we struggle with things on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I think you can see that through that story, like the principles of the story, they have the free will to choose to eat of the tree. He made that distinction to allow the people that he was creating to be obedient to him or to not be. His goodness exists, and at the same time, his evil existed at the opposite extreme. Growing up, I always, you know, being taught this stuff was like, okay, this is good. God is good, the Bible, all these things, praying. But I never, like, it took me until I was older to really see, like, oh wait, there's an entirely opposite side. It's not just like God and good and all this in this camp, and then it's like neutral, and you just don't believe, you don't care, you do whatever. No, there's good and there's evil, and you're on one side. Like you follow one side.
You have to pick one side.
Your attention goes to one side, and it's an active walk to stay in either of them. You develop habits, you develop principles and beliefs, and you get into a lifestyle either way. That you regularly have to tend to, because we have the freedom to choose. This person commenting, myself, you listening, you could go out and do anything,
whether it's good or bad. You could right now go do anything.
You could. And
you have the free will to do that.
Yeah. But what, you know, there's psychological things and that we don't necessarily
like
know.
Morality, like morals.
Yeah. That would prevent you from doing something or not. But the point is that it exists, and it's not that like God created that and then was like, okay, I'm going to make you sin, and then I'm going to send my son. So like you can see here, God created this world. He gave a world to people in which he created. He gave the world people to subdue it. And then once the people failed the world and the world failed the people, he gave his son to save the world and to save the people that he created originally. So you just get a like, if you look at it from the perspective of like generosity and giving and like sacrificing, but also he has the authority to do all those things. And also a big thing in it is sovereignty. So it's not like God was batting an eye that like, oh, or he had his back turned and, oh, well, it looks like Adam and Eve ate from the tree today. I didn't know about that. Like he is sovereign in the fact that he knows everything, but he uses it for his good and for his glory. And that's not something that as human beings, I think you can fully encapsulate what that means, because the biggest thing about this journey and this belief is that it is faith. And I think similarly to like why can we all like why can everybody who has a driver's license drive in the lane? Like just say you have a one lane on each side, you can stay in your lane. 99% of the people aren't getting in a car crash when they go and drive. Yet all there is yellow dashes blocking two vehicles that are driving opposing ways, 55, 65, 75 miles an hour. And there's nothing blocking that, yet you go out and you drive. What does that even mean? You know, like how does that work? And I think you just have faith in what you know and what you do. And it's kind of the same with like what you start exploring in this life,
mm-hmm.
in the word. Is like, okay, this is true, and I can understand this. I can have faith in this that this is true, and that this is how it works.
Yeah. If I may, like, give an example. So, like, let's say you have a kid. You tell them, like, you can't have candy after 8 o'clock in the p.m. Right?
Setting a rule.
Like, I want you to not have sugar after 8. You go into their room at like 8:30 and they have a bowl of marshmallows. You caught them eating the marshmallows. You discipline them. You give them a spanking or whatever it is that you choose to do.
Okay.
So, they ate from the tree. Right? They ate from the tree. God found out. And... so he justly, because God is a just God, he disciplines them. And so because they ate from the fruit, this I'm going to read their and now mine and yours discipline, which is, because you have done this, you are now cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. That's a reference to the Lord and Satan. He will strike your head. That is the Lord striking the serpent on the head.
Okay.
And you will strike his heel is the snake biting the heel of the Lord.
Okay.
In battle, essentially. Because okay. If you crush a snake on its head, it will die. That's something I learned in school. And then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in the pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Basically...
man's is labor.
Yeah.
Labor while you are alive. I believe.
Yeah. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. So yeah, that's our consequences. That is sin on us.
Sure. Right?
That is sin entering the world. And so that's God's judgment. That is us now having to earn favor with God back. Our whole lives from this moment on, all of life until Jesus came, and now because Jesus has come, we can and died on the cross and rose from the grave, we can have eternal life with him. But like our whole everyone's life up until like this point right now and like as life keeps going until Jesus comes again is us trying to get back to having favor with God. But because Jesus came, because he sent his son to die, our longing for favor with the Lord is now restored because Jesus came, died, and rose again. Because now, to get to the Father, Jesus intercedes for us on the Father's behalf. To the Father on our behalf.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard him be called the mediator, the middle.
That is what he is.
So yeah,
that's my piece.
I think an important thing in here too is in order to have a relationship with the people he created, after he put the sin in the world. And, you know, so, actually, before I get to that, I do want to talk about, like, the New Testament and how right now, like, an encouraging verse, from James chapter 1, says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." So, you know, you can see here that God is not the one who is tempting. He doesn't tempt anybody. Each person, when he is tempted, lured and enticed by his own desire. So that is, like, essentially pointing that desire to individual people, that we do have desire. Galatians 5 breaks down that it says, Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." Then it talks about how the works of the flesh are evident, fruits of the Spirit. So there's a distinction between, like, your flesh and the Spirit, evil, good. It's a constant battle. And that's where the relationship with God comes in, that he talks about here, and giving that dependency to God that says, like, I recognize that there's flesh and I can't do anything about it personally. I need you. I need your Spirit. The Spirit is always willing. Our flesh is always weak. Mm-hmm. And the more that you and I, people stay in that and build up on that Spirit and, you know, have those habits, have the lifestyle of continually growing in that versus the lifestyle of the flesh and living in the things that our flesh want. And that's not to say, like, you're living perfectly, but you are living in a way that is aiming that way. There's a difference between having the goal to not do things that are sinful and just straight up live, like, not caring and living in it, right? So neither person is perfect, but
it's that holier than thou. Like we are not holier than anyone.
No.
Like we're all sinful. We're all, like, we are all still longing for that favor with the Lord, even though, like, you might be a Christian, but I might not be. I mean, obviously I am, but, like, for the sake of example, like, or someone out there might not be, like,
well, this person's not.
Yeah. Like, we're still, like, no one is holier than thou, because there's nothing we can do to get God to love us more, and there's nothing we can do to get God to love us less. And so I just think that's the beauty of it all.
You know, I read this on Facebook. Somebody shared this, and I screenshotted it. Oh, I can read it now.
I think this will
close off that point and all this in general. Says, "No baptism, no communion, no confirmation, no speaking in tongues, no mission trips, no volunteering, no financial gifts, and no church clothes. He couldn't bend a knee to pray. He didn't say the sinner's prayer, among other things. He was a thief. Jesus didn't take away his pain, heal his body, or smite his scoffers. Yet it was a thief who walked into paradise the same hour as Jesus simply by believing. He had nothing more to offer other than his belief that Jesus was who he said he was. No spin from brilliant theologians, no ego or arrogance, no shiny lights, no skinny jeans, no crafty words, no haze machine, donuts, coffee in the lobby, just a naked, dying man on a cross, unable to even fold his hands to pray. Jesus loves you." And then it goes on to say, "For God who so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever," in all caps, "whoever, believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." So, I mean, you can
tie
be
it
like...
Up. Tie it up.
You can be like, well, that like there's baptism for like, okay, yes, there are these things for a reason, but it's just saying there's never no hope that wherever you are, you can turn around. And that we're all equal too.
Yeah.
We're all equal.
I mean, I don't know if you remember, but the Christmas Eve message about that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're kind of moving on from the comment and like, I just, it was so good because like the fake, like heaven, like, oh, who's this guy? Like the checklist, you remember at the end the message?
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, who's this guy? Like, what did you do with your life? It was like, oh, I don't know. And like all these questions, like, I don't know. And then finally he was like,
well, you're saying like the person at the gates of heaven.
Yeah. Like trying to let the people in.
Yeah.
And you get to the thief that was on the cross. And he's like, well, what did you do to get here?
Like when were you baptized?
When were you all this stuff? And he's like, I don't know. And then like, finally the guy snapped and he was like, I don't know any of the answers to your questions, but all I do know is that he said I could be here, and he is Jesus. And it was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, all I know is that Jesus said I could be here, and that's why I'm here. And so, like, that just puts the show. Like, that is the perfect example. Like, nothing we can do on earth, no prayers we say, I guess not no prayers we say, because we could have a prayer of salvation where we actually put our trust in Jesus. But like no baptism, no speaking in tongues, nothing we can do here on this earth can get us to heaven. It is strictly through the Spirit. I mean, John 5:39, it says he's talking about the scriptures. He's talking to the people of Samaria and the Samaritans. And you're like, he's like, you believe the scriptures, or you read the scriptures, but you won't believe in me. But I am the scriptures. So it's like Jesus is saying that he's the only way to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and it's just so true, because like there's nothing we can do, then there's no amount of scripture we can read that will get us to heaven. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that gets us there.
Yeah, I think, and too, like, if that guy wasn't on the cross and dying that day, through what the Bible says, he would have taken those steps after that.
Yes, absolutely. So that, like, absolutely.
That, it's not a, to say, oh, believe at 20 years old and live 80 more years and don't do anything about it. Like, right. you take steps, there's context. But yeah, I think that's good. What do you got?
This is the text. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. You refuse to come to me to receive this life.
Yeah, says it. Says right there.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah. So I think, like, in my experience, it can be challenging to ask questions. Because there's plenty of different perspectives on Christianity. So
yeah,
I saw a stat the other day. There's 400,000 churches in the United States.
I heard there's about that many genders out right now too. While we're at it.
But yeah, it's so like, I don't know. It can be any circle. It can be in circles that I like, circles that I don't like, that it's hard to ask questions. I think, you know, someone leaving a comment like that
is, it grows us stronger, and that's the seed. Like we are only called to plant the seeds. Like and just, we got to open up the hearts to let God into people's lives.
Yeah, but what I was saying is that for someone to comment that, they got to be in a place where it's like,
I took that the wrong way, but keep going.
I mean, yeah, there's two things, but the one is that for someone to comment that, they got to be in a bad place. They had a bad run-in. Like, imagine you go to a restaurant that people talk up or something and you have a terrible experience, you're going to leave a bad review. Or if you hear someone else talking about it, you're going to be like, that's the worst thing in the world. Like, that's the worst place. Why? I don't understand why people talk about that restaurant. When I went there, it was this, 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 and this. You know, all the bad. It's easier to talk about the bad than it is the good.
Always.
And so, yeah. And then I would say the second point to that, which is what you were talking about, is that this, the, what we are trying to do is a open place for that kind of stuff to exist, hopefully in a healthy way, but planting seeds. Yeah. Planting seeds that we hope will grow.
Planting seeds. Yeah.
So, yeah. We're on a journey to grow as well. Like, yeah, like I would say the biggest thing that we want and hope for is to not be speaking from a place of authority, but in the terms of we know everything. Authority in the sense that Jesus gives us the authority that this is true, yes, but in the authority that, like, we're better than you, like, you as in general.
General you.
Or, like I'm, but, like, I don't, like, that's not the goal at all. The goal is to almost, like, you just share, sharing as we learn. Like, this is just sharing as we learn. So we hope that's the way it's coming across. Are you pulling something up?
Oh, in a minute.
Okay. Well, yeah, so we were kind of going to talk about, you know, one thing that's been going good, one thing that's been going not so good for each of us. And I don't know what Chris is trying to pull up, if it goes into that or what we were just talking about, but we will be finding out soon. Right, Chris?
Yeah.
Soon? How soon?
I was just getting something ready.
Okay. Are you ready to go into that?
Yeah. So are we doing good, bad,
ugly? Yeah, so like what's good news or bad news first?
I don't know. So I guess it's not necessarily something that I'm doing bad at, but something I want to try to incorporate, which is fasting. I want to try and fast more regularly. I guess it's not necessarily something that I'm doing poor with, but I did kind of set out to fast one day this week, but I never did that.
Gotcha.
And so, I have it written down for my monthly goals to fast at least one time per week this year, this month, once a week this month. And I really think that will grow my relationship with the Lord. I think that will create, more intimacy, which is something that I've been longing for in a relationship with the Lord, and just ridding something in my daily life that will create and tune me back into the spiritual realm of the Lord. Give me a lot of the Spirit.
Okay. What do you mean by intimacy?
Just like having an intimate relationship with God, like one where like you have an intimate relationship with Belle, right? What does that look like?
I mean, just know each other, spend time with each other, do things that are, you know, self-sacrifice for, you know, our overall goal in our relationship.
Yeah, and so like that is like, I know that like that is what's best for me right now, is having an intimate relationship with the Lord. And how do you get there? How do you get to having a relationship with your friends? How do you get to having a relationship with a girl? Like it's spending time with them. It's doing, I guess, doing things with them, but just like doing things for them, and just like dedicating time and different things of your life to that person. And so I'm dedicating my time, I'm dedicating reading, and I'm giving things up and giving things to God. You know, I want to have a more intimate relationship with God. I want to have a grounded and just like all in relationship with him.
So like intimate could be substituted for like closer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I want like, yeah.
So what are you looking to fast from?
I'm not looking. I that's what I'm trying to pray about. Is like what is something that I could get rid of, you know? What's holding me back from being my best version of myself?
And what's something that you do a lot of?
Well, I know I've been on social media a lot this past week, which was annoying. Something I do a lot of, I would say eat, but maybe I do food, but like I don't eat a lot.
What about naps after work?
I only did that. I don't really be doing that. I did it twice this week.
Gotcha. 2 out of 5 days.
That's, 2 out of 5 days is bad.
Almost 50%.
But that's like the first one since January. It's been a minute.
Okay.
So like I haven't been doing it. It just happened to be Thursday and Friday this past week.
What if you fasted from not running?
Or go something. For a run. No, I'm thinking like either food, like for a day, like, or like social media, maybe my phone completely. Like instead of being on my phone like at all during the day, I'm sure. Just like fasting.
Yeah.
From that and just spending time with the Lord, because I've heard a lot about when people fast and like what the Spirit has done for them. And like how close you can get to God through fasting.
Sure.
And I just like really want to experience that.
Gotcha.
Like I don't know. Have you heard of the Girls Gone Bible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I listened to them on George Janko's podcast, and I mean, they're pretty similar to us. They're not sisters, but they my nose itches. Sorry, guys. They both had very religious backgrounds growing up, but then like finally stepped into like a relationship once they got on their own, like kind of as adults. They both moved to Hollywood as actors and really found like their spiritual footing with the Lord. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of similar to us.
Sure.
Minus the women actors and, you know,
Hollywood,
everything like that. But yeah, and then they started a podcast, and they kind of just like made the podcast into their life and their ministry. And so like it's kind of similar to us. And it's called The Girls Gone Bible. I really did enjoy listening to what they had to say. So anyway, one of them mentioned that they were fasting, and then I was like, man, that's another sign of like God telling me about fasting and so.
Sure.
Like, man. And so,
blow your nose or something?
I don't know. And so, yeah, that's just where the lesser thing has been showing up in my life.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've fasted a few times. Food, like content, like just to kind of reset the mind. Food to reset the body. But like also to pray and be in remembrance for things. I mean, a little, to some extent. So I do think it in my experience, it's been good. I haven't done a whole lot with it. I haven't tried a whole lot with it. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that goes for you.
Yeah. I'm very excited. Yeah.
So what is one thing that's going good for you right now?
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if we were going to go back and forth or me dropping both right now. Yeah, so something that I've been doing well is I started a prayer journal.
Okay.
So,
what is that? Describe it.
So, this notebook right here is my prayer journal. So for a couple of the days this week, I really just like had a lot of things on my mind that I wanted to pray for, and then I knew that like I wouldn't really, that most of the time I say like, oh, I want to pray for this stuff, and then I forget and it slips my mind. So like throughout the day, I kept a mental note of like stuff. I was like, okay, I'm going to pray today for some things.
Yeah.
And so then I wrote them down, and then I like was sitting there. I was like, what else could I pray for? And I was like, what else could I pray for? And like, I just felt like the Lord was like putting different things on my heart to actually pray for. So then like
to the point where you get for the whole world and everyone naked on stranded islands and
unfortunately didn't get to that point, but no, so I was just like and so the Lord put a lot of things on my heart to pray for this week, and I did that, and I felt good about it. And so I said my prayers for these people, and I really felt like the Lord was delivering people. I don't know if that happened, but I felt really good about it.
Okay.
Afterward. Like it made me feel good, and I hope it like made an influence on other people's lives, and I know like God will answer prayers in his time.
Mm-hmm.
And so like just trusting that like these prayers will get answered, and just like interceding for these people that like this will plant the seed in their life, and yeah. That's definitely something that I've been doing good with.
Nice.
It also makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. How long has that been going? I mean, I know you
this
said
week.
Recently. Okay,
this
so week. This whole week?
Tuesday. Started that Tuesday.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about that. To see, I really want, like, what's kind of been driving me is just like, if I get back with people and it's just like, hey, I want you to know that I want to see you grow in this situation, and I've been praying for you like every day since like the last time we talked, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like I want you to know that I see you and I see how God can use you, and I've been praying that he will do that in your life, you know.
Gotcha.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say that's something I've been doing really good with. And then something that I learned this week, so there's a verse that I was reading. I forget where it's at, but it was just like, hate your mother, hate your father, hate your brother.
I like that one.
And it's just like, all right. But
it's
have
about
no fear, everybody. I got clarity on it this week.
That one's about you having your own beliefs, or not, it's about having your own relationship with God, isn't it?
It's about having your own relationship with God, but it's saying that like you need to love God first, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to love and have such good a relationship and such a high love and standard for God that the way you love your mom, the way you love your dad, the way you love your brother, the way you love your sister looks like hate. That's how much higher up God should be.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. That was something I found pretty cool. This week.
So, like, yeah, okay. So you're going to start hating me?
Absolutely. No. But that's the cool part about it. Like, I still love you, but, like, it's just, like, so much. Belle is going to go crazy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But, like, Belle, what's one thing you're learning? What's one thing you're doing good at? You're not doing good at.
I guess being loved and hated by you at the same time.
I'm passing it to you.
I don't like dead air, but this one's pretty funny.
I'm passing you. I'm passing it to you.
Okay. So
I'm passing it to you. What's one thing you're learning, one thing you're not?
One thing that's I would say kind of similar to you, like it's not that it's bad, but just I'd like to do it more. I have like priorities, and this one is the lowest of my important priorities, and that's working out and like having exercise regularly. What?
That one's the lowest?
It is tied for the lowest. But I don't want to talk about that one on here. We can talk about that later. We can
talk about that after.
I told you they're equal right now.
I know.
So yeah, I would like to have a better routine of working out, but in the same token, like all the other, like the tier one important things, if they are all one tier, or I would say like all the important things that are like big and like before we get to like the micro habits and things that are important to me, the macro stuff, it's the one that I prioritize the least. Okay. It used to be the most.
Working out was the most prioritized?
Yeah. So like I still had a walk with God and I still worked a little bit and I still you know,
did the podcast.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. So
working out is just lower on the priority list
right now.
And it's something you want to do better at.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm trying to like do 4 things a week. No, I gotta be anything crazy. What?
Not five.
No, okay. 4. So I got 4 last week, and then this week I think I had 2. No, 1. Huh. If we count tonight's basketball thing, that'd be 2. I broke a sweat during that.
Oh my gosh! Hang on.
We had some mini hoop basketball.
Me, Henry, and Bell's brother.
Brady. Right. Yeah, just name drop. Yeah, that's fine.
Bell's brother Brady, who is in elementary school, were playing mini hoop basketball. We were playing some stupid make your shot game. We were all going at the same time on the small hoop in a very small space. And for some reason, it was the most competitive thing that I've done in the past, like, 2 months.
Year?
Yeah, year probably. And
yeah, it was very competitive.
We did like 4 rounds of it, and in the midst of the final one, I kicked the wall and like my toes are in like complete and utter, like they're swollen. Mm-hmm. And Henry slipped and fell on the ground in the middle of it. And Brady won 2 of 4 matches.
Yeah.
I won 1 and Henry also won 1, which I want to come clean about now. I did not make the mid-range shot on my win.
I knew it. I knew you got to the half court way too quick. I knew you got to the half court way too quick.
Everyone is making the, on the half court. I was like, you guys were in the other room, and I just took a step back, and I was like, I'm make this.
Bro, I even thought something was fishy, too. I was like, how do you make that shot already? Like he did.
I think it was right after I kicked the wall, too. I was like,
tough.
But anyway, yeah, so just to interrupt.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
My toes are in severe pain, and Henry slipped and fell on the ground.
I feel fine, though. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess when biking comes back in, like, that'll be helpful.
Oh, right, working out.
You know.
So you want to prioritize working out more?
I don't want to prioritize more.
How are you going to do it?
Put in the calendar.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I would say, like, my morning routine is still in the refining process. It's still a little inconsistent.
So what do you want what's your ideal morning look like?
I mean, it obviously is the 5:45 wake up.
Of course, it has to be.
With the, you know, read my Bible first or, you know, do whatever I got to do to spend time with God. And then...
until like 6 or 6:15 or...
You know, it kind of is a timeless thing. But
right.
At the very, you know, between probably 6:30 at the latest, 6:15... you know, 6 at the earliest. And then some, like, kind of split between working out and editing, or if I have, you know, real estate work that I could do early on the days that I paint, then that too, if like there's some priority tasks there.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess that would be like kind of every other day with working out, editing, and or real estate if it is there. But yeah, that's like my ideal. But I just am pretty, I've been pretty bad at scheduling for the week ahead. Okay. In that regard. I play it more by ear, and then me playing it by ear I default into not really knowing what to do.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I'm looking to grow in that department. Cool. For sure.
So something you've been doing well?
Something I've been doing well is, I would say the work's been working.
Work has been working?
The work has been working.
Okay.
If that, you know, you can catch my drift.
Yeah.
It's just...
No.
You can't. I don't know.
Catch my drift, dude. I've been working and it's been working. And just catch it.
Okay. No, it's a saying I heard one time and I was like, I like that one. I like that.
Catch my drift. Oliver...
Tree?
Oliver Tree, yeah. Riding around this carousel, you catch my drift.
No.
That's what I heard.
No, the work's been working.
All right, I guess that's been episode 95 of the Young Bucks Podcast.
No, like, the work that I've been doing has been working.
Okay. You've been selling houses? You've been painting?
Yeah. And so...
Finished products?
Yeah.
Looking good?
Yeah. That's
cars been totaled? What?
No, like, that type of stuff's been moving along. A proverb verse that I really like right now is that where there is no vision, the people perish. It's a it's in Proverbs 29, verse 18, first half of the verse. And I feel like, I don't really feel like, I know that I have been gifted with vision recently towards like what to do with work in the future and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been pretty encouraging to have. And I realized... Like I think I found what I mean when I say this. Like, I think encouraged is a good word to use when it comes to like, I'm content, I'm comfortable, I'm satisfied. Those all sound like I'm a turd, like lazy, sitting on the couch type of thing. Or like where it's like I'm accomplishing my goals, I feel happy that things are going in the good direction. I'm working hard still and trying to do things, but I'm encouraged by the results and I'm not like being kept empty by the fact that I'm not exactly where I want to be, but I'm really happy about where I am at and the direction that I am going. So I think encouraged is a good word. Just cool. Nice. I like how it's going. The fear man would tell you that that's the wrong perspective to have. So watch out for that.
Please.
Yeah, but starting to pray for vision was helpful, and sitting in that. And that's something that I want to grow into is like, okay, how can I even like make this more intentional? Like, what's my goal for, you know, working out? Like, what's my vision for that? How does that equate? How does that go with the rest of the things that I'm trying to do? So they kind of go hand in hand. Like, I want to pray for more vision, but I'm happy for what I do have right now. And staying in the word too, staying in the communities, staying in the prayer.
Got to.
The vision top of mind and allows me to succeed on a daily basis. I also realized a fear of man thought that I got over was that God's will for your life has to be like over spiritualized, and it doesn't. Mm. There's skills that he's given you. There's traits that he's given you. That you can use in the marketplace, that you can use in relationships, that you can use in various departments that aren't spiritual.
Yeah, quote unquote, absolutely. Spiritual. Absolutely.
So that's been cool and refreshing, kind of going along with the vision thing. But yeah, things are moving. The work is working.
Catching drifts. But if you read chapter 5 of Undistracted, no one likes a drifter.
Nobody likes a drifter, man. Undistracted, part 5 coming next week. It's like, Chris has got his Bible open. What you got, Chris?
No, just something I read this morning. Jesus is talking about like being the Son of God, and he's like, I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will, and it's just talking about the will of the Father. But this is also something he said after what I said earlier with receive this light, about the scriptures. Jesus says, your approval means nothing to me because I know you don't have the God's love within you. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if I come to, yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe. So just like your approval means nothing to me. That if like you have God's love not within you, it's the fear of man.
Yeah.
Let it get to you. Can't let it get to you.
Yeah. I read John recently, and I think, yeah, and John, more than any of the other gospels, Jesus refers to his Father as him who sent me, like you just read. That is his way of describing how he is on earth, why he is on earth, who the Father is by saying him who sent me. And I found that very interesting and comforting too, because that was a part of his perspective on what his Father's will was, is that God sent him to do these things, and God had a plan. Yep. So it's like I don't know, like if you, like mom sends you to a grocery store to buy stuff, she sent you with a plan to do something, and you accomplish it in the time that you have there. I think that was comforting, where I'm like, okay, God sent me here, has me here with purpose, with intention to do things. And that goes along with the vision too. And I was like kind of taking that in as I was reading John, and I'm like, this phrase is being repeated. It's jumping out the page at me. Like this is encouraging. I like this. Mm-hmm. So it was ironic that it was in the passage you had read.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
So, yeah. Yeah, man. 95.
Yeah.
That's Lightning McQueen's number. This is the Lightning McQueen episode.
Dude, yes, it is. This is the Lightning McQueen episode. Oh, my gosh.
We'll have to re-record the intro. Welcome to the Lightning McQueen episode.
We'll just put that right at the front of it.
Got it.
So 95. Oh, it's like we bleep out 95 every time we say 95 in the episode. So like when you say welcome to the Lightning McQueen episode, like, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Okay. It's okay.
All right. What do you got?
So it's, what month are we in?
March.
It is March, isn't it?
It is March.
And
it's a pretty mad month.
Yeah. We can't quite say it, but the big tournament is this month.
Why can't we say that?
I'm pretty sure we can't say it.
From who?
I'm pretty sure it's copyrighted.
We don't make any money.
It's okay. Hey, they don't need to know that. But no, March Madness is upon us.
There's no money on the line for you saying.
Saying what?
The M word?
The M word. No. So March Madness is upon us. And so we're trying to make this big. We're trying to get it started now. And this is our first time talking about it. Go to ESPN Tournament Challenge, the app, or fantasy.espn.com and follow the tournament challenge prompts. This is not an ESPN.
Thank you.
this is not an ESPN ad or anything, but just follow those prompts. And then when you create your login or whatever, if you want to join our group, to join our group, it's called Young Bucks Merch Prize, Merch Bracket, Young Bucks Merch Bracket.
Okay.
And so if you win, if you get the most amount of points, the most amount of games correct, we will send you a Young Bucks shirt that you've seen in these videos. And so just go to the ESPN Tournament Challenge, go to Young Bucks Merch Prize Bracket, and we will, once the brackets come out, fill out a bracket. Whoever has the most points at the end, it'll go out on our Instagram stories. We'll create a reel for it, and just be on the lookout for it. We want this to be a big thing.
What, the tournament starts the 19th of March, right?
Yeah, brackets open the 17th. Oh, I think it starts the 21st.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe those NI or the play-in tournament is the 19th?
Brackets are available 3/17/24.
All right, yeah. But people can sign up to join the group before then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Link will be in the description. Please go and sign up. We really want to give away a shirt.
Yeah, Young Bucks Merch Bracket is the group. I'm in it. My name's Chris Deering.
We will participate, but if one of us were to win, then...
Second place. Yeah. We'd get a shirt. But so second place, look to be getting a shirt.
Whoever the first person is below us will get a shirt.
Yeah. So second place, be looking for a shirt. Because I'm getting first this year, baby. I'm getting a perfect bracket. I'm excited.
Dude, snap. One, it is one. It's on my bucket list. You know, we can talk about bucket list for a second.
Okay.
It's on my bucket list one day when I...
Leave the world behind.
No. When I'm like...
Live a life you will remember.
When I'm more established in my life.
All right.
I don't know. Think half about time. It how you want. Yeah, half time. I want to take a college season, and I want to watch as much college basketball as I possibly can. I'm talking every day.
I'm talking you're getting zero correct on this March Madness bracket the year you watch all this basketball.
No, and my goal being to get the perfect bracket. But because I feel this is like half the battle. I know there's upsets, but half the battle is like, who's on the roster? How do these teams match up? If you know this ahead of time, you have a way better chance of getting a correct pick.
Like, I know Furman's got that three-point shooter.
If you know who Nevada's got and you know who Wisconsin's got, just because the number's 5-12, you know, you...
Most common upset.
It is. That's why I said it. you know, or whatever. It's the second round and like two teams that you thought could play each other, but you know one has the upper hand on the other. It's even though one's a lower seed and one's a higher seed, it's not my mission. Now, what would have sucked is if I did it like that year that like Oral Roberts upset Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that happens where you're just like, this is totally, totally out of the blue.
Or St. Peter's upsets Purdue.
Virginia.
Purdue. Last year, first round.
1-16. They did?
Yeah.
Oh. I already forgot.
I talked about it earlier tonight when we were
I didn't know what you were talking about. I was like, I think he's got the year wrong on that because they played him well when Jaden Ivey's year.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. So, yeah. Anyway, bucket list.
You're so right. You're very right. St. Peter's played Jaden Ivey's year. Last year was, what was
Virginia.
The 16? No, it wasn't Virginia.
Virginia lost to Furman.
Virginia lost to Furman last year, yes. Hang on, I need to look this up now.
Okay, yeah, actually, you know, I just absolutely roasted Chris due to that.
Fairleigh Dickinson? Yeah.
What? That was the name of his college?
Yeah.
Who did they play?
Purdue. They beat Purdue last year.
Oh, okay.
Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue last year.
Nice.
Yeah, sorry. You were right. St. Peter's beat Jaden Ivey's Purdue team.
Yeah, I feel like I know what I'm talking about from time to time.
No, you had it right, man. I was wrong.
I'm excited to watch that clip back. Man, LeBron dropped point number 40,000 tonight.
New all-time leading scorer. If you want to know how many he finished with or is still going, he ended with 26, which would put him at 40,017.
Did they win?
No, lost by 10.
Shoot. They were up at half by like 10.
Yep, lost by 10.
I think that, you know what that means. It's time to close out the episode.
With a draft! No. I mean, at some point after you get to after you get to point 40,000, you see a stop sign.
Yeah, a stop sign on that career.
Yeah.
It's coming soon.
So speaking of stop signs, I think it's a great time to wrap up this video. Hey, I went to Trader Joe's today, and it was a great experience. Would recommend going back. I had Panda Express today. It's okay. I mean, it's nothing crazy. I would eat it again for sure. It's nothing to like brag on about.
Yeah, that's good.
Had kombucha today, first time.
Three firsts.
I'm not a kombucha guy. No, thank you. But great day.
Booch.
And I went to a new coffee shop for the first time.
So four firsts.
So yeah, good day today.
Nice.
Had a one-way interview.
For the first
five
time.
Five firsts. No,
okay. You recorded episode 95.
Six firsts. Lightning McQueen, what? So yeah, speaking of stop signs, thank you guys for tuning in to episode Lightning McQueen. I just really appreciate all the love and support that we are going to receive and continue to receive on all the videos. Go to ESPN Bracket Challenge if you want to join the Bracket Challenge. You will win a Young Buck shirt that you've been seeing me and Henry wear in these episodes. Kyle and Noah as well. Maybe we're a little four-man next week. Maybe we're on a little four-man episode 96. Hey. So, guys, thank you so much for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing, reacting. Thank you so much. We will see you in the next episode. Peace.
Peace. Oh, whoops.